In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I know all of us, we want to repent and we change our life. But sometimes the most challenging point is how to change ourselves. For example, if I am lazy, I like to sleep a lot. Or if I am addicted to a bad habit, if there is a bad nature in me, I am a very nervous person, I'm a judgmental person, and I'm aware of all these weaknesses, and I want to change, but I find it difficult to change, although I have the will. And sometimes what makes it more difficult when I am not aware of my weakness, we call it the blind spots. Like when you are driving, there are blind spots, you cannot see it. Usually many accidents happen because of the blind spot. So if I have a blind spot in my spiritual life and I don't see it, this makes it more difficult actually, because I don't know, I'm not aware of this blind spot. Like the gospel of this Sunday about the man who was born blind, the Lord said to the religious leaders of Israel, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sinned, because if you admit your blindness, you will repent. But since you say, we see, it was like a blind spot in their life, your sin remains. Many times, it is again not a blind spot, but I am in denial. The difference between blind spot and being in denial, I know what I am doing, but I am not admitting it. I am not taking responsibility. I am blaming others. I am shifting the blame. Or I don't see it as a problem. For example, a person who is drug addict, when you tell him, no, I'm not addict, I can quit it at any time, in denial. But there are blind spots in our life. For example, a person who works a lot and doesn't pay attention to his family. Maybe he believes that he's doing the best. He's working day and night to support his family. And this is a blind spot in his life. Because what would he profit if he gains the whole world and lost his soul or lost his family? That's why today I like to speak with you about change. How to change your life. Even if it is difficult, how to change your life. In general, the first point in a change is prevention. It's better to prevent getting into a bad habit than to fall into this bad habit and then you want to change it. For example, it's better never ever to try smoking than trying it and then will be a habit. And then you don't know how to quit or to change this bad habit. Prevention is better than changing. In order to prevent any bad things in your life, just I will highlight some points. The first point in prevention is the importance of spiritual canon, importance of spiritual rule. Because you cannot avoid bad habits or bad nature in your life. You cannot avoid this without the grace of God. The importance of spiritual canon is make you living in the realm of the grace of God. And as the Lord said, without me, you cannot do anything. So without the grace of God, you cannot change yourself. And you cannot prevent falling into a sin. But when we walk in the grace of God, and I feel the grace of God surrounding me, this will help you to prevent falling in a sin. And the elements of the spiritual canon, all of you know it: prayer, scripture, fasting, prostration, spiritual reading, confession, communion, attending liturgies, attending midnight praises, attending services in the church. All these activities are not the goal in themselves. The goal is not just to finish the prayer. The goal is not just to fast. The goal beyond all these activities is to be connected with God. And when I'm connected with God, when I'm in relationship with God, His grace will help me to overcome and to avoid falling into that habit. And although I said repentance and confession and communion part of the spiritual canon, but I like to highlight this. It's very important to confess regularly and to expose early thoughts of temptation, to expose them. Even in the secular world, they found, for example, in treating addiction, group therapy is very effective, like Alcohol Anonymous or Narcotic Anonymous. It's very effective. Why? Why it's very effective? Number one, because there is responsibility. When I admit in front of the people that I have this problem, I am taking responsibility. And number two, the accountability. And number three, the support and the encouragement that comes from the group. And these three things actually are very important in a change in general. In confession, there is responsibility. I go and admit I'm taking responsibility. And also, there is accountability. Abuna will hold me accountable. And also the support. Abuna will pray with me and pray for me. So it's a part of the support. In addition to these three things, the grace of the Holy Spirit, because it is not a counseling session, it is a sacrament in which the grace of the Holy Spirit is working. When you expose early thoughts, Abuna, Anna, I am tempted to try smoking. I'm tempted to try addiction. I'm tempted to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Sometimes Satan puts in my mind to watch inappropriate videos just out of curiosity. When actually you expose these thoughts, the thoughts will be weaker and will not take control of you. You know, in suicide, people who expose the suicidal ideation, most of them, they don't commit it. Just exposing it. People who hide it, they end up committing suicide. For example, Judas, when he lost hope after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe if Judas opened up to one of the apostles, John, Peter, James, Andrew, anyone, and he shared with them how he feels and what he is thinking about, and how he feels guilty that he delivered and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and shared with them that I don't have hope, I decided to take my soul away, I am sure they would talk to him out of it. They would convince him not to do this. But he did not expose the thoughts. I know many people, they don't like confessions, they don't like to go and expose or admit. But it is your loss. When God actually established this sacrament, He established for our benefit, to protect us. And believe me, ask people who are regular and consistent in their confession, the support they have, the progress they have in their life. Another thing will help you in prevention. What is your ultimate authority? What do I mean by this? there are standards of the society and there are the standards of the scripture. If you are taking the society as your ultimate authority, meaning everyone has a girlfriend, everyone has a boyfriend, everyone just is trying this drug or smoking or whatever. Marijuana now is legalized, nothing wrong with it. Oh, I read a research about the benefit of marijuana, etc. If that is your authority, then you will be confused and you cannot prevent what is going to destroy your life. But those who take the authority of the scripture as the ultimate authority, they are safe. If you have a car, usually with any device, there is manual. And you have the manual of the car. But in order to fix something in your car, you went and you checked a manual of another car or manual of another device. And then you try to apply this on that. Most probably, you will ruin your car. Because the manufacturer who actually made the car, they know what is best for your car and what is bad for your car. And who our manufacturer is? God. God is the one who created us. God is the one who made us. So he knows what is right for us and what is bad for us. When God tells you don't do it, then don't do it. Even the society is telling you, yes, you can do it. Don't listen to the society. Don't listen to the standard of men. Listen to the standards of God. He knows what is in your best. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat from this fruit. Satan told them, please eat from this fruit. What happened to them? They died. Take the scripture as ultimate authority. You may say to me, but the scripture did not discuss everything. The scripture did not discuss, for example, drugs, dating, dancing, etc. How would I know? Yes, the scripture did not discuss these things, but there are principles in the scripture. You can apply it. Like when St. Paul said, everything is lawful, but nothing should control me. I should not offend the others. Not everything is suitable for me, and not everything is edifying. These are four principles that can help you to make judgment. So in order to prevent falling into bad habit, you need to take the scripture as your ultimate authority. Also, don't yield to the pressure from the society or from your peers. Sometimes we shy or we are embarrassed or we are weak to stand against the standards of the society or the standard of our peers. Sometimes peers make fun of us because we have different standards. Be strong. Be strong. Don't be weak. Don't yield to the pressure. When they told Athanasius, the whole world is against you, he said, and I am against the world. Be against the wrong world standard. Be strong. You are light of the world and salt of the earth. And when you are tempted by any thought, try to study it from Christian and biblical perspective. Now the society is telling us abortion is okay, divorce is okay, same-sex marriage is okay, transgenderism is okay. You need to study all these things from Christian perspective, from biblical perspective. What early church fathers said about these things, what the scripture say about these things, in order to have, as St. Paul said, as for us, we have the mind of Christ. You need to have the mind of Christ. Also, you need to understand how to respond to the challenges in the society. For example, if your peers are making fun of you, because you are virgin until now, and your standard, which is a biblical standard, there is no premarital sex. I'm telling you, you need to be strong, but you need to learn how to respond to these challenges in a very strong way. And this in some school or in the church, we need to train our youth and our adult how to respond to this. For example, if you are working and there is a wedding of a co-worker and he's gonna marry another same sex, how to respond to this in a way that you are strong to your faith and without yielding, and in the same way without being judgmental or holding a stone, stoning others. How to keep this balance and how to be able to respond in such situation. All these points will help you in prevention. How to prevent? Because as I said, it's better to prevent falling into a bad habit from falling into a bad habit, and then it is difficult to change. Usually, if something did not develop to be a habit, it's easy to change it. What's difficult to change when it is a nature, or something became a nature, bad nature in you, that's difficult to change. After I spoke about prevention, and before I speak about change, I need to address quickly the blind spot and the denier. God, out of his love to us, he sent us people to deliver a message, to tell us what is wrong in our life. These people can be our parents, can be our friends, can be a Sunday school servant, can be a abuna, can be a godly co-worker. God will send me a message. You have two choices, either to be in denial and to get rid of this person, to avoid him completely, or to take this message seriously, think about it. And if I have this blind spot in my life or this weakness in my life, I need to take care of it and start correcting it, especially when it's still too small. One time, St. Anthony the Great was walking with his disciples and he found some grass. He told them, can you remove it? Yes, they were able to remove it with one hand. Then he found a little bush. He asked them, can you remove it? So they tried together, and they were able to remove it. Then he found a big tree and he told them, can you remove it? They couldn't. He told them, sin like this, when it is in its early stage, you can get rid of it easily. When it grows a little bit, it will be difficult. When it grows and become like a bad habit, it's not impossible to remove it, but it is a big challenge to remove it and to remove it. So be thankful to God when God sends you a message or a messenger to tell you what is wrong in your life. Samson, in his marriage, he made three mistakes. He based the decision of marriage based on physical attraction, as he said to his parents, she pleases me well. Also, he married outside his faith. And the third, he did not listen to his parents. God sent Samson a message through his parents, but he did not listen to them. Because of these three mistakes, his marriage failed completely. God sent a messenger to David to tell him about two major sins in his life. And he was so blind. He killed and committed adultery, and he did not realize that he committed these two great sins until God sent him Nathan. And when Nathan rebuked him, David, he said, I've sinned to the Lord. And he repented, very, very powerful and strong repentance. He was not in denial. He took responsibility. He did not blame anybody. Look at King Herod. God sent him John the Baptist. And King Herod, as the Bible says, he knew that John the Baptist is a holy man. And he respected him. Even when he said to Salome, the daughter of Herodiah, ask whatever you want And when she asked for the head of John the Baptist, he was disappointed because he loved him, respected him, and he didn't want to kill him. But when John the Baptist rebuked him, he did not like it. When he told him, it is unlawful for you to marry your brother's wife. And at the end, he killed him. Many times we kill John the Baptist in our life. Who is John the Baptist in our life? The person, the messenger, whom God is sending to us to tell us, you're wrong, you need to repent. Many times we kill this person. Kill this person, not literally, but avoid him, not listen to him, giving him a deaf ear. Who will lose at the end? You, as Herod lost. But David won his soul because he listened. So regarding the denial and the blind spots in our life, please, please, when God send you a person, a messenger, listen and examine yourself. What you heard is true or not true? If it is true, don't be in denial. Now let's speak about the change. Change goes through 6 stages. First stage, not willing. Second stage, dreaming. For example, I am a heavy smoker. First stage, I'm not willing to quit. Second stage, I'm dreaming. Yeah, to quit something good. But if I am smoking for 40 years, how can I quit? It's like a dream for me. Third stage, willing. I am willing. Fourth stage, acting. So the will now became an act, action. Fifth stage, persevering. And the last stage, victory. You need to know which stage you are in, because how to handle yourself is different depending on which stage you are in. Before I speak about different stages, I want just to repeat, without the grace of God, you cannot change. So remember, you cannot do any changes in your life without the grace of God. Even if you are able to change, without the grace of God, it will be temporary for a short period and you will relapse. So I cannot emphasize the importance of living with God, being in a relationship with God. But here's the most challenging point. What if prayer, reading the scripture, going to church, that is the area I want to change? I don't like prayer. I don't like to come to the church. I don't like to read the scripture. I don't like to fast. So all these means of grace, I don't like it. What can I do? Somebody would tell me, you are telling us, in order to change, I need the grace of God. But what if the main challenge to me is to keep my spiritual candle? Then how can I reach this grace? So if you are in the stage not willing, you are not willing to pray, you are not willing to come to the church, you are not willing to commit to the scripture, what you need to do? Number one, you need to understand why. And here, honesty with yourself is very important. Because without honesty, you cannot help yourself. Examine yourself and ask yourself this question. Why I don't want to pray? Why I don't want to go to church? Why I don't want to fast? And most of the time, you will find wrong belief attached to this. Wrong belief like what? Prayer is boring. I don't understand anything from the scripture. Is changing the food important? I can live with God without changing food. Does God care about whether I eat non-fasting food or fasting food? How is this going to help me? You will find many wrong beliefs attached to this. Or I go to church, I am bored. It's very boring to stand 2 or 3 hours in the church. I don't understand what's going on. It's boring. And as I told you in the beginning, there are wrong beliefs. But what is your authority? If the authority is the scripture, then I need to correct all these wrong beliefs from the scripture. Is prayer important or not? Is liturgy important or not? Is the scripture important or not? Besides, God did not tell us that living with Him is a wide gate and broad way. Everything is easy. When you pray, it is easy. When you read the scripture, it is easy. God did not say this. He told us the gate is narrow and the way is difficult, and few are walking in this way. You need to correct all the wrong beliefs that preventing you from being willing to change. Many people, they say, life with God is not fun, and I want to enjoy my life. If I go to church, they will tell me, no dating, no dancing, no drinking, no fun. I don't want this. I want to enjoy my life. But is this a wrong belief? Yes, definitely it's a wrong belief. Because all these activities, drinking, dancing, dating, drugs, will give temporary happiness. But eventually it destroys the life of the person. Go visit some rehab center and see how the life of the people are destroyed. People who sell you drugs or sell you cigarettes or alcohol, or people who are encouraging you to go to nightclubs and dancing, they are deceiving you. They are not telling you the truth, because they want to make money out of you. They don't care whether your life is destroyed or not. They don't care whether you are depressed or suicidal. They don't care about all of this. They care about just to get your money. And that's it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Another actually reason that make people not willing, because again, another wrong belief, it is impossible for me to change. When you say to somebody, see St. Stephen, see St. Anthony, I hear a lot, but I'm not St. Stephen. I'm not St. Anthony. I'm not like Elijah. I'm a weak person. That's why St. James in his letter, he said, Elijah was a human being like all of us. When God created Elijah, who actually closed the heaven 3 years and 6 months, and by another prayer he opened the heaven, Elijah was just a regular person, like any one of us. But God was with him. That's why he was powerful. Don't say I am weak. Don't say it is impossible for me to change. Saint Anthony or Saint Mary or Elijah or Jeremiah, they were human beings like us. But they put their trust in God. That's why they were able to change themselves and to change the world. You can do it. St. Paul said, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. Don't say I am weak. No, you're not. You can do it with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, you need to examine yourself and to see there is a purpose or a goal that your life is serving. What do you mean? For example, if I am looking for fun, maybe the reason I'm looking for fun because there are many stressors in my life. And this is just a coping mechanism. When I drink or go out with friends, go to nightclubs, this is just a way to escape from the problems or the challenges in my life. But these are wrong coping mechanisms. When I understand why I chose this lifestyle, why I'm afraid to be close to God, why I don't want to commit myself to life of prayer and life of grace, because these things like easy fix, but very, very temporary and very shallow. Like a person who has severe pain, and instead of getting the right treatment, he just masked the pain with just some aspirin or any painkiller. Sometimes all these wrong things we do just is like a painkiller. We are masking the real reason. I need to know why I am preferring this life than to live with Christ. Why I am afraid to live with Christ. What I am going to lose in my mind, or what I believe I will lose if I get closer to Christ. Because some sin, we call it the loved sins. We love these sins because they actually serve a purpose. And some sins are addictive. All the pleasurable sins, like sex addiction, there is pleasure attached to it, connected to it. And I don't want to lose this pleasure. But if I know this pleasure is like poison in honey, so yes, there is pleasure in honey. It tastes good, but there is a poison that will destroy me. Again, I need to know the truth. I need to expose the deception. Be open and go and discuss these reasons with your spiritual father. Be honest. Tell him, I don't want to pray. I don't want to come to the church because I don't want to lose this fun. Be honest. Maybe he can correct your wrong beliefs. Go and discuss these reasons. Lastly, in the first stage, which is not willing, there is a very, very short prayer in the scripture, but very powerful prayer. The prayer of St. Peter when he was drowning. He said, Lord, save me. If you cannot pray, and if the prayer is so boring to you, and you cannot open your agbaya to pray, just train yourself to say this short prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Repeat it as much as you can. And the Lord will stretch his hand. But when the Lord stretch your hand, don't withdraw your hand. If the Lord stretched his hand to Peter, but Peter withdrew his hand, he would have been drowned. The Lord will stretch your hand. He will knock on your door. He will send you somebody to help you. That's stretching hand. Then you need to extend your hand, to hold the hand of the Lord and respond. You called, Lord, save me, and he will save you. He will save you. Don't tell him, Lord, save me, and you are running away from him. When you say, Lord, save me, and Lord, stretch his hand, stretch your hand and hold his hand and move on. In the second stage, which is the stage of dreaming, now you know the truth and you want to live with God, but it's like a dream for you. Number one here in this stage, you need to have confidence and to put confidence in God. I like when St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, we were desperate of life. St. Paul reached this stage of despair. And what did he say? He said, we are dead to ourselves. So we cannot trust in ourselves. If I am dead, I cannot trust my name. The only hope for the dead is God who raises the dead. St. Paul, when he realized he is like a dead person, has no confidence in himself, he put all his trust in God. Why? Because God is the only one who can raise the dead. And what was his experience? God delivered us from such death. And he does deliver us. In whom we trust, he will deliver us. Delivered, delivers, will deliver. After 10 days, we will celebrate Lazarus Saturday. He was in the tomb for 4 days and there was a stench. But with one word, the Lord was able to get him out of the tomb. Put your trust in God. Tell him, I am like Lazarus. For me, resurrection is a dream. To be raised from the death of sin, it's like a dream. But you did it with Lazarus. Do it with me. And what is the feast of resurrection? We are not celebrating the resurrection of Christ that happened 2,000 years. Of course, we are celebrating this, but it's not just an event, a historical event. We remember it and celebrate it. In the litany for the gospel, the last two words, Abuna says what? For you are the resurrection of us all. So the resurrection of Christ means my resurrection. Resurrection from what? From the death of sin. That's the true resurrection. It is shame that we are celebrating the resurrection of Lazarus and resurrection of Christ. And myself, I'm losing hope in myself. I feel it's hopeless. And it's just a dream for me. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. Also, surround yourself by positive environment that can encourage you. If you have a friend tell you, you know what, you cannot quit smoking. It's impossible. I tried before and I failed. Stay away from this friend because it is a negative energy around you. Stay around those who will motivate you, who will encourage you, who will lift you up, who will put their trust and your trust in God. He is the hope of the hopeless and He is the help of the helpless. Surround yourself with a positive energy, not with a negative energy. There was a monk who committed adultery and he lost hope. St. John Chrysostom wrote a very powerful letter to him, and we published this letter in a booklet. I think it's called Hope and Repentance, something like this. Was published by St. Moses Abbey. It's a very powerful letter. I want you to read it. It gives hope and encouragement. This monk, after he lost hope, after he read the letter of St. John Chrysostom, he repented, and actually he returned back, and he is one of the saints of the church. Don't lose hope. It is not a dream. Do you know why we read the Synaxarium in the Divine Liturgy? Some churches, unfortunately, and thank God not in our diocese, but I hear some churches outside the diocese, it's just they read the, today the church celebrates so and so and glory be to God, and that's it. It's a big loss they are doing this. Because why they are reading the Synaxarium? Synaxarium is a really story of victory. These people are human beings like us. Like, I think on Saturday, we're celebrating St. Mary of Egypt. When you hear her story, it's a real story of victory. This will encourage you. If I am like St. Mary of Egypt and I heard her story, it's a real story of victory. It will motivate me. What a loss if just I said, today's church celebrates St. Mary of Egypt, glory be to God. That's not right. Because I will benefit to know that people who are human beings exactly like me, they were able to turn their life 180 degrees through the grace of God. And keep these real stories of victory in your mind and in your heart. This will help you to move to the third stage, which is the stage of willing, to be willing. In this stage, beside surrounding yourself with people who will encourage you and motivate you and putting your hope in God, but if you are in this stage, please set clear goals for you and set practical action plans. What do I mean practical action plans? For example, now I am willing to start to pray. So your action plan, I will pray the 150 psalm every day. This is not practical. You are setting yourself to failure. That's why you need to set your goal. Put a practical action plan. And maybe you need to discuss this plan with your spiritual father, so he can tell you something practical. You can do it. And in this stage also, you need to have a support system. As I told you, support is very important to move you from being willing to acting. And thank God, we as believers, we have two important support systems, all of us. One is invisible and the other is visible. St. Paul spoke to us about the invisible support system in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. How can I lay aside every weight? And how can I lay aside the sin which ensnares me? And St. Paul used easily. How can I do this easily? How to run the race with endurance? He told us, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Why you see icons when you enter the church? To tell you are not alone. This cloud of witnesses are praying for you, helping you, supporting you. Don't lose heart. That is the invisible support system. And the visible support system, your family, abuna, your godly friends, your Sunday school servant. All these are the visible support system. The godly people in your life, they are supporting you. They rejoice with your success. They rejoice when your life is progressing in your relationship with God. In this stage, you need to set your goals. What are my goals? For example, my goal to be committed to my spiritual canon. My goal is to quit smoking. My goal is to quit the drugs. Whatever your goal is. My goal is to acquire the virtue of patience and endurance. My goal is to get rid of the sin of anger. That's your goal. Then what are your plans? What are the exercises? For example, in anger, I need to have some practical exercises to be able to reach this goal. And I need support system, the invisible and the visible support system, to help me. This will make me move to the following stage, which is acting. In this stage also, I need the support, visible and invisible. I need the encouragement. But what is important in this stage is the follow-up. I need to follow up with my father, spiritual father. I should not wait for 2 or 3 months to see my father. If I need him every 1 week or every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, every month, follow up is very, very important in this stage. Because, for example, if I have bad habit, usually when I am motivated and start acting on it, I will quit it for some time. So let me quit it for some time. Then the possibility of relapse will happen. Once there is relapse, I need to go immediately for follow-up. By time, the period of victories will be more than the periods of relapsing. But if the opposite happens, if I am working on this, then I fall and then I stay 2-3 months. Then I will work on it for 2 weeks and stay in the sin for 3-4 months. I'm making it difficult on myself. Follow up in this stage is very, very important. Also with follow up, usually when you have a plan, even in work, when there is a plan and you start executing the plan, there are challenges. in construction, we have plan. Once we start to execute the plan and start building, there are challenges. Discuss the challenges with your spiritual father and how to overcome these challenges. Why you are still getting angry? Why you are still cannot commit to the life of prayer? Why you still you are watching pornography? Discuss these challenges. I tried this and it failed. So we can have other action plans. Also, be patient with yourself. Change doesn't happen overnight. Be patient for yourself. Also, in this stage, it's very important to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself means to receive the forgiveness from the hand of God. Many times, God, not many times, all the time, when we go back to God, God forgives us, but we don't forgive ourselves. And when we live with this guilt, when we live with this bitterness, because I don't forgive myself, I am angry at myself, I hate myself. How come I did this? This will not be helpful to change. Accept your weakness and accept the forgiveness from God. Have hope and move your life and change your life. When you read the story of Saint Mary of Egypt, her story says, for 14 years she was fighting the sin of lust. 14 years, very long time. But she was patient with herself until God gave her the victory. And let me tell you, as long as you are fighting, you are accepted before God. Victory God will give it to us in the right time. But as long as I'm fighting, you are accepted before God. This leads to the fifth stage, which is persevering. As I told you, change will not happen overnight. And many people, when they try for some time and they relapse, they give up easily. Don't give up. Persevere. In this stage, plus support, plus hope, there is a point here in this stage very important, which is celebrating the victories that God granted you. Acknowledge that through the grace of God, you achieved this victory. And celebrate the victory in a spiritual way. Be thankful, be grateful. Glorify God and praise Him. Do veneration for the saints, especially if you assign a saint to be your intercessor during this journey of change. I'm not saying celebrate the victories in a prideful way, because if you celebrate it in a prideful way, you will fall again. But celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the work of God in your life. Celebrate the victories that God did in your life. Be thankful and grateful to the Lord. As Mar Isaac of Syria said, there is no gift without excess except the one without thanksgiving. Be grateful to God. Be thankful and celebrate the victories. Again, in this stage, follow up also and how to overcome the challenges is very important. This will lead to the last stage, which is the victory. When you quit this bad habit for a very, very long time, be thankful to the Lord and celebrate this victory in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord who gave you this victory. As St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. But what's important in this stage? Three things. Life of watchfulness. You need to be watchful. Satan is not happy with your victory, so he'll try to put snares to you in order to catch you again. So be watchful. The second thing, humbleness. If you start to be prideful, Satan will catch you again. when actually Saint Macarius saw many snares in the desert, he said, "O Lord, who can be saved?" And he heard the voice, "The humble." So be humble and know for sure that any victory, it's not because of you. Any victory, it's because of God. And the third thing, serve others who are struggling with the same bad habit or the same weakness. Because as the Lord helped you, you need to serve others and to help others. So these are the six stages of change and what you need to do in every stage. In this way, you will be actually transformed from glory to glory to the image of God Himself. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.